Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of The Big Picture. This is Aaron Diepa, and I am on Camera Dojo with the world-famous Kerry Garrison and David Esquire.
Welcome to Camera Dojo, the official podcast of CameraDojo.com, where we help you make the most out of your photography. This is episode number 60, the big 60. This is your host, Kerry Garrison, and with me is Mr. David Esquire. Hey, David.
How are you, Kerry? How are you doing? I'm doing lovely this evening.
At 60, I'm starting to feel a little old.
We know you are.
Wow, 60 shows.
Dude, I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, crap, man, we've like devoted like more than a year of our lives on this program. Like, where did it go? Because it went fast.
It's going fast, and unfortunately I really don't have much else to talk about. I haven't done any posts this past week because I've been gone. I was in New York doing some work, and then in Upper New York doing some camping, and now I can't do any video work because I have so many mosquito bites on me. I look like either a cross between a leper and someone with chicken pox. So I won't be doing any video for a few days. I think it's kind of ugly.
You know, there's a product called Off.
It didn't matter. We had,
really?
We had DEET. We had,
DEET didn't even work.
Yeah. We had all kinds of stuff, Citronella, and that probably kept me from having 1,000 bug bites, but it didn't stop me from having 100. I mean, it got to a certain time in the night, and it was like I kid you not, a cloud of mosquitoes would roll in, and you're brushing them off of you as fast as you can. But there was just so many; enough of them would land on you and bite, regardless of what you had on you. And the only thing we could do is build a gigantic bonfire and stand close enough to the fire that if the bugs tried to get you, they would burn.
Dude.
It was wicked. But I did learn that there are bug repellents with different concentrations of DEET. And in the end, we found out that what we had was 10% DEET, and you can get up to 50% DEET. And so that might have been the issue, but me not being, none of us expected a mosquito problem of that magnitude, so we were just ill prepared for it.
Wow, that sounds like some global warming issues there.
Well, actually, it's because there's been so much rain that there's bodies of standing water all over the place. It was brutal, but it was fun. I had a great time. I love camping, and this was with some good friends, and it was awesome. So it was really fun and an area that I mean, I've never camped in New York, so it was an experience.
I really like the topless pictures that you took of yourself on the boat when you were holding up the fish, and you know, you're showing off your piercings. That was really hot.
Hey.
No, but did you see my comment I did on Flickr?
See my ass.
Yeah, dude, because I was like, nice forced perspective of your fish, because it looked like the fish was like right in front of the lens. It's like, I caught a fish this big.
It was cool. There was like 12 of us there, and I caught the first fish of the weekend, and I caught the biggest bass of the weekend. So it was kind of cool.
Hey.
But that prevented me from doing any articles this week. So you know, there's nothing new on the website to talk about other than me fishing and stuff. But I do have a lot of product reviews coming out. We've got some camera trigger remotes. We've got this thing called a Fotex Hero, which is a wireless live view system, which is kind of neat. I have a huge article. I can't even talk about it. It's so super secret, so I'm not going to talk about that one. But I got a lot of little product reviews coming in, so we're going to get to those things over the next week and show how to use them. Some of them are kind of cool. There's one of them that's kind of like, I wonder what I'm going to do with this. But hey, we'll get to that. But let's get to this.
Hey, no.
What?
No.
Who? What?
Hey, no, 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 no. I have a product review that I'm going to do.
Oh, on what? On what?
Don't fall out of your chair. I know it's huge. Kevin Kubota has new RPG speed keys that are coming out for Lightroom 2. And it's really, really cool. It's basically like a wireless USB keypad with one button access for brightness, exposure, fill light, and a ton more. You can use it with the Kubota Lightroom presets. And I just got confirmation that mine is shipping today. So I'm really excited to be getting that. And you can check it out on KubotaWorkshops.com as well. But it's a brand new product. I think they only made like a couple hundred. And when I talked to them the other day, they said they're actually almost out of them. I'm like, what?
Well, yeah, because I've had mine for a couple of weeks now. So, no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Say, uh-uh.
But I will say there another product review that we have coming up, which is, I don't know, it's more than a review. It's a whole tutorial and lesson, is a lot of people we had heard talk about, oh, this particular lens is soft, or I had to buy five of these lenses and keep taking them back until I got one that wasn't soft. And I was experiencing the same issue with one of my lenses, where if I really shot it at f2.8, it's the 2.8 lens, my images were soft. So what does that mean, that a lens is soft? What it really means is it's not focusing. And it's not that it's soft, it's out of focus. If it's in focus, it's going to be sharp. That's pretty simple concept. But often a camera and lens combination may be such that you're getting a little bit of front or back focus. And uh-huh. If you're shooting at, you know, an F11 or an F16 or something, you'll never notice it, because the difference is going to be minuscule the depth of field is so deep, you'll never notice the difference of whether it's back focusing or front focusing an inch. It's not going to make a difference. But when you're at f2.8 and all of a sudden your depth of field is off by an inch, I mean, that can make the whole difference of the shot working or not. And so some of the newer cameras have autofocus micro adjustments, and you can fine tune the focus spots with the lenses. So we're going to talk about that in some upcoming articles, because there's a huge misconception about why some lenses with some bodies turn out soft. So we're going to look at how to solve that, how to get around that, how to tune your camera and get it all dialed in properly. I think that's going to really help a lot of people.
And I can definitely tell everybody that's listening, the whole 11 or 12 people, that back focus and front focus issues will ruin your photos like it's nobody's business. And you will be banging your head against a wall when you first discover it, going, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? And from my personal experience, my depth of field was like 7.1, and I was still having problems. And it turned out it was the body. And it's not my camera bodies that I have now. It was actually my old Minolta camera bodies when I first went digital. And they had a lot of issues with that particular body. And that was happening right around the time when I was going digital and also switching over to Canon. So if you are experiencing that, you definitely want to pay attention to what Carrie's getting ready to share with you, because it really sucks. I did a whole fashion shoot with back focus, and I could not believe it. I mean, yeah, if I wanted the soft, glamorous look for the skin, it was so spot on, but the clothes look like crap.
But here's the real easy way to tell if you're having an issue with that. Try manual focus. If you can dial it in with manual focus and take the image and it turns out sharp, then you know you have an autofocus problem that can be dialed out with, well, it's not going to be every camera. It's going to be newer cameras. I don't think the 40D even had it, did it?
No. None of my camera bodies with Canon ever had front or back focus issues. It was
no, but I'm saying the autofocus micro adjustment.
No, that's only on the 5D Mark II. And then I think the 1DS.
The 1DS and now the 50D.
The 50D has it? Does it have the micro adjustment?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Nice. Which is why I was so excited about that, because I'm like, oh man, I can get this more affordable camera that has that particular feature and really see if it's the body or my lenses. And it turns out that my 2470, not my 2470, yeah, my 2470 2.8 at 2.8 is front focusing. And it happens to be a Sigma lens. And so I called Sigma up and I said, hey, I've got this problem. I can send you some pictures that I took with a graph and some things. And this is what I'm going to talk about in the article, is how to figure out where you're having this focus issue. And I said, I can send this to you. And they go, oh yeah, no problem. We'll adjust the lens. I'm like, well, how much is this going to cost? They go, oh, it's free.
Nice.
Okay, cool. So I'm going to actually set up a little more accurate of a system here so that I can get it really dialed in. So when I send it to them, what they'd really like me to do is send my body too, and they'll get it absolutely perfect. But I can't really be without my body for a couple weeks. So I'm just going to send the lens to them along with these photographs so they can see how far out it is and try and calibrate to that. And then when I get it back, odds are it's not going to be perfect, but it'll be close enough that I can fine tune it with the autofocus micro adjustment. Right now, I can go all the way out and I'm still not quite there. And that's why I'm going to have to send this lens in. If I was able to adjust it out just using the settings on the camera, I'd be done. So I'd be happy, but I can't. So that's one of the things we're going to talk about is why is your lens soft? And we'll show you how to determine it and how to fix it.
And you know what? I want to go through, before you do that particular bit, Carrie, there's some information that we have that we brought back home from WPPI, that there was that one gentleman that was selling that tool that could help you determine whether your lens is calibrated correctly and if you are experiencing front or back focus or if it's spot on.
Funny enough you say that, because that's exactly the system that I'm getting in, which is called LensAlign from rawworkflow.com.
Dude, awesome. Yeah, you know, and when we were talking about that there, it was like, is that really necessary? And I was really thinking that was a really dope product when I had seen it. And I thought, oh my gosh, that would be sick, because then you know how spot on your lenses are. And especially if you're using a macro lens, that's one area you really want to make sure that your lens is so dialed in for your particular shots, because you're so right up on the jewelry or the rings or whatever it might be.
Yeah. So as soon as I get this in, it's in the mail right now. As soon as I get this in, I'm going to do the article on it. And for all of you who live near me, come over and adjust your cameras. So we'll get everybody dialed in.
Nice.
So that's the stuff that's coming up and going on here at the dojo. But for, you know, the tens of you out there that are listening to our show every week, we have, a pretty cool guest. It's Aaron Diepa. And if you remember, a few months ago, I was a guest on his show called The Big Picture, which was his daily video blog show. And Aaron's a great guy, fantastic photographer here in Orange County, does a lot of destination weddings. And because he has his own show and it's video, I thought I'd bring him on to talk about the motivation of doing a daily show, the inspiration, and kind of how that project has been going, which is going to be an interesting story, I think. So why don't we get to it? Let's take a short break. And when we come back, let's be on with Aaron Diepa. We're here with Aaron Diepa, a Orange County-based wedding photographer, and Aaron has been doing some really interesting things with his website this past year, with his video blog called The Big Picture, which, if you remember from a few months ago, I happened to be a guest on the show, which was really fun. And I thought we'd get Aaron on to talk about what that's done for him, how he got started with that. But Aaron, why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself, your background, and kind of how you got started in photography.
Oh, wow. Okay. Sure. So you want me to talk about how I got started in photography, or the big picture?
Well, let's work our way up to that.
All right. Let's work our way up to that.
The small picture.
So let me paint the picture.
Ooh.
It started a long time ago in a land far, far away. No, really. I don't know. I just, I've always had a passion for photography. And, it was more of a hobby than anything. My father growing up was also a photographer, not by trade, but more as a passionate hobby as well. And so, growing up, there was always photos, like our walls were plastered with, his photography, and I was kind of just like surrounded by the art of it for my whole life, my whole upbringing. And so, I always knew that it would be a big part of my life. But I never really thought that I'd be able to make a career out of it and sustain myself and my family with it. But one day I just one of my buddies was just he's getting married and he liked my art that I was doing and he wanted me to shoot his wedding. He's like, "Hey, Aaron, I want you to shoot my wedding." And I said, "Jeremy, no, go hire a professional." I said, "That's not something I normally do. I do a lot of street photography. It's kind of a real grungy look to it. And, I don't think I'm the right guy for you to shoot your wedding." And he said, No, I really trust you. I like your eye and I want you to shoot it." And he was really persistent. So finally, I kind of just gave in and I said, "You know what, Jeremy, I thanks. It's an honor. I'd love to." And so I ended up shooting it. And him and his wife, Sarah, they loved the photos and they turned out great. And I had a great time doing it. And it just kind of went from there. And then from that, I got a couple more referrals and I ended up shooting a few weddings from that one wedding. And then I kind of realized slowly but surely that, I kind of missed my calling. I was actually practicing financial planning. I was a business major actually at Cal State Fullerton. I studied finance because I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life and I thought that was the responsible thing to do. So I went to school for business and I started doing that. And then, while shooting these weddings on the side, I kind of just realized, I don't like financial planning and I love photography. I'm going to do it. So I just, I made the plunge, I jumped, and that's what I've been doing ever since, full-time wedding photography. I actually do all kinds of photography, but that's probably the core of my business is weddings.
So when did you start doing the weddings?
So that was in 2006.
Okay. So for the last few years that you've
Yep.
been building that business up.
That's right.
And then you recently started, or this year, at the beginning of this year, you started your video blog.
Right.
And this isn't your typical video blog. This is a daily video blog.
This was a
It's
daily video blog, and take special note to the word was,
a
because those were that was the initial intention for the blog itself was, I needed a way to stand out because there's a lot of blogs out there, first and foremost, and there secondly are, there are more and more video blogs every day. I mean, there's tons of video blogs out there, but there are more and more wedding photographers that are starting to kind of jump on board with the whole video thing. And it was kind of at the beginning of the year, it was almost losing its unique factor, I mean, it was still really rare to see a wedding photographer doing video for their blog posts, but it didn't get the impact that I was kind of looking for. So I just decided, I've seen a lot of, photographers, over the last couple of years commit to blogging every day. And I was always really impressed with that and thought, wow, I could never do that. And I thought, well, wow, if I was impressed by that, imagine how people would be impressed with a video blog every day. So it was New Year's Eve. And I decided, you know what? I've got a good idea. Why don't I start a show and it'll be a daily video blog, and that'll kind of just, draw a lot of attention to my blog, and it'll be totally unique. And it worked. And didn't quite know what I was getting into. It was a tremendous amount of work, especially because I had very, very little experience with video to begin with, and to not even really have a good grasp or understanding of video editing, it was a daunting task. But I did it, and I mean, well, let's stop there. Do you have any questions about that?
Well,
Why I have 30 minutes because I have a lot to say.
I know where you're coming from. I mean, we produce a weekly podcast, and I think it's a tremendous amount of work to do a weekly audio podcast. And I've been doing more and more video tutorials for Camera Dojo, and I know what a daunting task that is trying to get those out on even a one a week. So to try and do a weekly video is to say that it's a daunting task is a tremendous understatement.
Totally.
Yeah, it was. I mean, if I had hair, I'd be pulling it out, you know? No, it was, yeah, it was so much work, and it was sleepless nights. And, you know, part of the problem with it was I was so obsessed with making the videos interesting that I would do, like, I mean, 30 takes. You know, and then I have to go through and edit it down. And I was really, really slow with the editing process. So it just is very, very time consuming.
How far into it were you, or how many days into it did you get before you went, oh wow, have I
Oops.
bitten off more than I could chew?
Okay, well, it was like after the first week, I was like, oh man, I don't even know if I should do this. This is nuts. But then I was like, no, I've got committed. I gotta keep it going to through WPPI. I really wanted to, you know, kind of keep the show going at least through there. And then I don't know. It's been a roller coaster, I guess. I mean, there's been, you know, times where I was just like on top of the world, thinking, "Man, this is so much fun. I'm so glad I started this." And there's times where I'm like, "Why am I doing this? Is anybody out there even watching this show?" You know. And it's but you know, overall, I'd say it's just been, you know, an eye-opening experience. I mean, it's just. The impact on my business, like, I can't even put it into words. I mean, it's tough to put like a, you know, it's to quantify it, you know, in terms of like, you know, how many more weddings I've booked from it. But I know for a fact that I've definitely increased my business since I started the show. And what's more important is it's actually opened up a lot of doors for me. Like, it's gotten me in front of a lot of big name photographers that you know, I don't know if I just, you know, I don't know if I would have had an opportunity to talk to them before. And, you know, I've actually built a lot of really strong friendships through the show, and it's just been a really cool experience. And I've been able to learn from those friends and therefore expand my business that way too. So it's been an educational tool for me as well.
Well, and
What would
plus
you
you're
say? Go ahead, David.
I was just gonna say, and now you're on Camera Dojo.
I am. Yeah, see, there you go. And maybe that wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for me having Cary Garrison on my show.
That may be true.
And the world famous, world renowned Lovesac Tumble. Absolutely.
That's true.
I
But,
mean,
I mean, go ahead, no, go ahead.
so you were saying that this had an impact on your business and that you absolutely believe that it's helped you sell more work this year.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think it is about the videos or the video blog that caused that work to be there? Is it just because it was there, or is it because it was teaching something? Was it because the people felt that they got to know you? Did you figure out really what it was that made that unique?
100. I can fully tell you exactly what it was that helped, specifically me book more weddings. And that is, and that's actually, I mean, I guess I never really kind of explained why I started it. I mean, yeah, I wanted to stand out in the industry. Yeah, I wanted to, you know, kind of make a name for myself, among other photographers. And I feel like I've done that, a decent job of that. But the main reason was I wanted to use it as a tool to get to know prospective clients before they even met me. And I mean, I just this year I've shot more destination weddings than ever. And with destination weddings, oftentimes your clients are coming from other parts of the world, actually. And I've had a couple clients actually from Toronto, New York, all over the place. So I mean, they're really far away, and you know, yeah, you talk to them over the phone, but you know, it's not the same. So it's kind of been nice because they feel like they get to know me, my personality, and how I interact with other people, all before they even talk to me on the phone. And like a good example of that is I was actually telling you, Carrie, this earlier. I just booked a wedding with some clients up in Seattle, and it was so cool because they called me up and they said, you know, it was a conference call, so they were both on the line at the same time, and they just said. They're laughing and they're just saying, you know, it's so cool because we feel like we already know you, and it's because of your videos. And I just thought that was really cool. It just like it just totally affirmed everything that I've been doing with the whole, video blogging. It's because they it it's it kind of, I think, gave me the cutting edge, because it's kind of intimidating, I think, for clients. I mean, they're putting a lot of trust into their wedding photographer to begin with, even if you're local. But I mean, to hire somebody out of state or out of the country, I mean, that takes a lot of guts, and they want to feel like not only that you're a good photographer, but that your personalities are going to click, and that you're fun, you're jovial, you're going to have a good time, and you're going to make sure that everybody around you is having a good time as well.
Aaron, I also think that what you're doing with the video blog is that you are doing an instructional bit as well. So it's setting you, I don't want to say setting you up, but it is setting you apart in the sense that you are presenting yourself in a professional manner. You're presenting yourself as an authority on what you're talking about. And when people see that, they can relate to that and go, okay, he knows what he's talking about. And it builds a level of instant trust. Do you think that that's part of it as well?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, when the clients go on there, or prospective clients, I should say, because I haven't, these are people that are, finding me on Google, or they're referred by somebody else, and they've never met me before. They just go on my blog, and they see this show, and they start clicking through and watching the videos. And if they see me, kind of interviewing other photographers, or talking to other photographers about what I do, or kind of giving instruction about how I prepare for a destination wedding or something along those lines. Yeah, I think absolutely. It kind of sets me apart in that way too, and puts me almost in, I don't want to say a leadership role, but yeah, just like a more respected position.
Right.
I'd have to agree with that, because you're coming out and you're doing instructional stuff in a sense to other photographers. And it's not always like that. Sometimes it's you have a lot, you cover a lot of topics. So it's you have some things that are instructional, some things that are just fun, some things that are, well, yeah, different.
Yeah, I do. I that was part of the whole like trying to keep it interesting thing. And believe me, that, oh my gosh, that's been the hardest part of this, has been trying to keep the content interesting. But I wanted to have a little bit of instructional, a little bit of interviewing other photographers, and I also wanted to have some that were just like personal blog posts, where like I had a couple of videos where like one of them was just like me and my dad, and I wanted to like introduce everybody to my father, and because he was a major form of inspiration for me for becoming a photographer. And so one of the things we do when we hang out, my dad and I, is we'll actually some father's sons, they'll go out and they'll go fishing. Well, my dad and I will go out with our cameras, and we'll just find some location like downtown Santa Monica or something, and we'll walk around, and we'll just shoot, we'll just do some street photography or something. And so one of the episodes was that, we just went out and hung out all day, and it was kind of neat because I got to, introduce my followers, my, I don't want to say followers, that's a Twitter term, but I wanted to introduce, my viewers to my father, and like, kind of a personal part of my life. And I also introduced my brother once, and so that was kind of nice. And I like to have fun with it too. It's like, yeah, I am a professional, but this is supposed to be kind of an example of my personality and what I'm all about, who I am, not just in a professional sense, but that I like to have fun too. And like a good example of that is the video from Trinidad. I shot a wedding down in Trinidad, and they have a lot of really unique foods there. One of which was this thing they called bake and shark, and or no, actually crab and curry crab and dumplings. And
Yep.
so we were down there, and we were getting these curry crab and dumplings, right? And I'm thinking it's like crab meat mixed inside dumplings or whatever with some curry, right? But no, it's a whole crab in
Ew.
like yeah, in like a bowl of curry sauce, and like it's just like literally the whole intact crab. And so it was just a crack up. So we got some video of that, of me and and Lon second shot, Lon Bowie second shot that wedding with me, and my fiance was there too. I brought my fiance with me, so it was kind of cool. I think viewers got to see like me and my fiance and Lon just hanging out, not even shooting the wedding, just hanging out and trying the local foods and goofing around. And yeah, so yeah, there's definitely lots of different sides to the show. Yeah, I also wanted the show to be I guess I had a lot of different uses. It was like, one, give people a glimpse into who I am, what I'm all about. Two, I wanted it to be kind of a form of inspiration for, upcoming photographers, photographers that are new to the industry, and they want to feel like, hey, I can do this too. And, if it's like, I didn't want to be so professional that they didn't get to see who I was. And like, I think newer photographers that can see, hey, he's just a normal guy. And he's really doing this, and he's really, creating a successful business. I think that, and I hope that's inspiring.
Oh, I think it's inspiring. I mean, it is for me to see the people who are being so motivated to do something like this and try, and not always succeed, but try to do it to the best of their ability and really push themselves to another level. There's something to be said for that. Even if you can't actually do it, I can't post a single picture every day. I can't do it. I mean, it's just I have too many other things that I've chosen as my priorities. And
Right.
if you choose your priorities to be doing something, do it and try and be good at it. And so I really respect that you gave it a huge effort to get there.
That's where I'm at right now. Like, I haven't actually had a new episode in, I don't even know how long. It's been a month or a month and a half, more than that. It's been a while. So, but kind of what happened was this thing grew so quickly, so exponentially that I just kind of got overwhelmed and inundated with new business and new opportunities, and not just wedding opportunities too. I've gotten all kinds of business. Done a few shoots for Disney, and just other little business opportunities and projects that I'm working on with other photographers and things. That it's just been like, I don't want to say unfortunately, but the big picture's kind of taken a back seat for a little while I've been kind of just dealing with the growth. And that's definitely not a bad thing. I'm not complaining. I mean, it did what it was supposed to, and it's done a lot for my business. And the thing is that, I'm gonna be honest, you having me on this show has really kind of inspired me to keep going with it. Because I was kind of getting to the point where I was on the fence, and I was like, well, it did a lot for me. I mean, maybe I should, call it the end of the project, or I don't know. I was kind of like on the fence whether or not I should keep going with it. And you guys having me on the show to talk about it has kind of re-inspired me to keep going with it. And one other thing that is kind of giving me the oomph I needed to feel like I can actually keep the show going is the new iPhone 3GS came out. And of course, I had to have it. I got it the first day it came out. But it's got the new video function, which is sweet. And my friend Lon, he's like Mr. Video. He actually showed me it's a really cool thing. I can actually record a video from my iPhone. No matter where I'm at, I can record the video, I can edit it on my iPhone, and upload it and post it to my blog all within like 5 minutes flat, no
That's
matter
awesome.
where I'm at. It's awesome. So,
That
in
that's
fact,
really amazing.
yeah, so in fact, that's what I'm gonna do right now, guys. I'm gonna record a video of myself talking to you guys for a couple minutes with the iPhone, and then that'll be my next big picture episode.
Oh, hey, check me out. I'm waving. I'm waving in the back. Hi,
So
everybody.
it's kind of a boring video that I'm waving for you guys. I'm holding my iPhone at arm's length at myself, and
Oh,
I'm waving.
if only the iPhone had a tripod mount.
Oh, you know what? You should turn the volume up a little bit so we could say hi.
Okay. All right. Okay, go ahead. Say hi, guys.
Hi,
Hi,
everybody.
everybody.
Hi, everybody. Totally, totally.
That is Carrie Garrison and David Esquire with Camera Dojo. Well, that'll be the end of the clip.
Nice. You're gonna have to, Carrie, you gotta put that on the site, bro.
We'll link to it. So Mike, I want to kind of get into the nitty-gritty of this a little bit. What is the biggest lesson that you learned from the experience?
I'd say the biggest lesson, that's a tough question. That really is.
Because I'm guessing that there's probably two answers. There's probably a positive one and there's probably a negative one.
You're right. There's probably several of each, actually. That's why it's a tough question. But if I have to narrow it down, let's see. Okay, we'll start with the best. Okay, so we'll start with the positive. I think that the most positive thing that came out of this, the best lesson learned, was that you can't go wrong with being yourself. There was a lot. I had a lot of anxiety at first over what are people going to think of me? How should I act on the videos? And you know what? Really, when it boils down to it, people just really appreciate and ultimately respect honesty, and they respect people that are genuine. And especially your clients. I mean, yeah, other photographers do too. But I mean, what's the most important thing is impressing and earning the respect and trust of your clients. And nothing does that better than being transparent and being yourself. And that's been I think the number one thing for me that I learned from this, and that I'm going to continue to use throughout my business. And even if this show isn't a daily show anymore, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to do it like a 5-day-a-week thing. So it'll be like Monday through Friday, and I'll take Saturday and Sunday off. But I'm definitely going to maintain that whole transparency thing with it, and keep going with it, because I think that's really what's helped me with getting more clients more than anything. And with the lesson learned, the negative lesson learned, if you want to call it that, I don't think it's really a negative thing, because it ultimately turned into a positive thing. But I don't know. Sometimes it's a bad thing to chew off more than, or bite off more than you could chew. So I don't know. Maybe, you know what, guys, I don't know. I'm not even going to call it a negative thing. It's not. Because, I mean, yeah, I didn't keep it daily, but look at what it's done for me. And, maybe it's better to think things through before you jump, but that's just not how I work. New Year's Eve, I said, hey, this sounds like a good idea. And, New Year's Day, I went forward with it. So, and I'm glad I did.
Aaron, I'm loving what you're saying here, and this really ties in with what I want to ask you, and it's personal. It's really personal. What inspired you to be so transparent with your story on your website and your really clear, concise, like 2.5 paragraphs? Was it all of this transparency? I mean, you really threw a huge chunk of your life out on one page. Why?
Yeah, I did. And David, I'm honored that you asked me that question. And I don't want to sound cheesy or anything, but I am, because I wasn't gonna bring it up, because I didn't. It's a personal thing. And the thing is, like, I don't like to just bring that part of my life up all the time.
Right.
But I put it on there because it's an important part of me, and it's a big part of my life, and help make me who I am today. And that's why it's on there. And that's why, I put it on there so that if people feel comfortable with asking me about it, I would love to talk about it. So, absolutely open to that. Just in a nutshell, for people that, haven't gone to my website and have no idea what we're talking about right now, I was married. And I had a beautiful wife. Her name was Amanda. We were totally in love, and she passed away. She had cancer, and it was, words can't describe, feelings that go along with the tragedy like that. To lose somebody that you love, I mean, it sends you into a downward spiral of grieving and darkness, that you really just can't even put into words or even attempt to describe to anybody that hasn't gone through something like that. But at the same time, it has been something that has just so helped me grow into who I am today, and it's inspired me to live my life a lot differently. I live my life to the fullest that I possibly can. I'm not perfect, And you know, I have good times and bad times, but for the most part, I try to stay positive and to make the most of every, you know, minute that I'm given, that I'm blessed with. And you know, I don't know how many minutes I have left either. So it's like, you know, it's just kind of changed my whole perspective and my mentality and outlook on life, having gone through something like that. And, you know, Amanda, you know, she inspired me too through her struggles with cancer and her battle all the way up through the end of her life. And you know, it just kind of you know, when I think back about that, you know, one of the things she, you know, inspires me. You know, one of the things that she did was she wrote poetry. And you know, throughout her struggles, it was, you know, multiple years of battling cancer, so it wasn't like a quick thing. She would write poetry, you know, to kind of calm herself and to express, you know, all the things that were going on in her head, you know, being faced with death all the time. And you know, she shared those poetry, that poetry, with a lot of people. And then one of the things that she asked, before she passed away, was that, you know, we take those poems and we give them to as many people as possible to help them get through their battle with cancer, or to help them deal with their loved one who has cancer. And, you know, and then she passed away, and that's what we did. We put it together. We made a poem book out of it, published it, and it's been you know, spread all over the world now. It's in several different countries, translated into several different languages, and it's been a great form of inspiration for a lot of people. And so that, you know, her doing that is just totally inspired me to kind of do the same thing, and just to be transparent and just open and honest and genuine with everybody. And it's done wonders, not only for my personal business, but for my personal life as well. And you know, I mean, my life is great now. I mean, I'm engaged to my beautiful fiance Barbara, and we're getting married actually September 6th, which is about a month and a half from now. And yeah, things are really good. So that's it. I don't know. Did I cover it, guys?
Absolutely. Aaron, I just want to applaud you for this because I too have been not through a similar situation, but I've had, I would say, I don't want to say countless, but numerous events in my life that were very life-changing. And some people know about them that are very close to me in my life. And I have wanted to share this on my website and on my blog, and there are only a few people within my circle that know of it, and Carrie and I have actually chatted about this, so I really wanted to get inside your head, and thank you so much for sharing it, because that's actually inspiring me to share a little more about my story, not just like, okay, here's my background and blah blah blah. It's like, we can all do that all day long, but it's
Right.
like, here's me. This is the real me that has created the person that I am today. So I'm really inspired hearing your story with this. Thank you. And I'm over here in Huntington Beach applauding you. I should shoot video. I should shoot like some iPhone video. Hey, this is me applauding Aaron. Diepa.
Well, no,
No.
I mean, I'm honored, David. Thanks. I mean, that means a lot to me. I'm really glad that I've, you know, been able to touch somebody else's life. That's kind of like what I hope for, you know. And it's funny because, like, once I did that, once I actually was open about that on my website, and I've had a number of photographers actually come to me in privacy and kind of share their stories with me as well. Because, you know, I noticed that a lot of people have been through, you know, ups and downs in their lives.
Yes.
You know, it's like I've noticed that, you know, well, I knew that all along. You know, it's like that is what makes us who we are. You know,
Yes.
it's the good times and the bad times that makes us who we are. But, you know, a lot of people are too scared to share the bad times. And I think it's good to do it, you know? I mean, only if you feel comfortable with it, but I mean, if you're comfortable with it, you know, it's good to share that with other people, because it gives them a better idea about who you are. And and it, you know, makes them feel comfortable with opening up to you as well.
It does. It really does. And more importantly, who's shooting your wedding?
Good question. No, Gabriel Ryan.
Get out. He's so cool.
Yeah,
Gabe is the
no,
man.
they're great. They're great. Gabriel and Carly are great. And yeah, I've worked with him in the past and seen his work, and I think it's beautiful. And they're so much fun to work with and to hang out with. And so yeah, they're shooting the wedding.
That's cool.
For people who listen to this show on a regular basis, you know, the tens of people that are out there, the
No, we're up to 11. We're up to 11.
we've had this overriding theme almost from day one of it's not so much about our images. It's about our personalities. It's about us. Like Dane says, you are not your photography. And what you were expressing there in terms of why you did the videos and what you've learned from it and sharing your story, that really ties into this whole mentality of sharing yourself and making people have a personal relationship with you through your website. And it's not just about what you do when you press the shutter.
Right.
Amen.
I totally agree with you. I mean, yeah, you have to be a good photographer. But I mean, I think what's more important is, or just is equally important, is that you have the personality to back it up.
Because it's so much about the experience of how you handle them, how you deal with the clients, the whole wedding day, and how it flows and how you work with people. And if they can get some sense of that from your website versus just looking at pretty pictures, now they can relate to you and you probably stand a much better chance of closing that deal than someone who just has pretty pictures on their site.
True.
Wow,
It's
that's so
funny,
cool.
yeah, because actually I had some the clients right now, they're still in the decision-making time where they're trying to they've sat down with several photographers, including myself, and they're trying to decide who to hire. And one of the things they said to me was, you know, we love your personality. And I'm pretty confident that they're gonna hire me. We'll see. But I'll let you know. But yeah, that's one of the things that they actually said was like, yeah, we love your personality, and that's really, really important to us.
I mean,
And I thought that was really interesting.
as photographers, I mean, we love people to say we love your images, but that only goes so far.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, because let's face it, guys, there are a lot of really amazing photographers out there.
Well,
Yes.
yes, but there's also a lot. No, but well, also there's a lot of people that know how to use actions and presets very well too.
Well, that's true too.
It's very, very true. A lot of people did it, it's a very point and click production cycle at this point, where anybody with a camera that's got half a creative splinter of talent in them can probably produce a pretty nice picture, but what you do does stand out. You are not your photography,
Right, so
aka
true.
Jane Sanders, world famous, like Aaron Diepa, world famous, inspiring me to change my about page. I so totally want to tear into my website
Well,
now. You have no
it's
idea.
actually funny because after you and I discussed this on your show some time back about the transparency and being open and honest about yourself and who you are, and I did go back and change my about page that day.
You
And
totally did. I remember that.
you know, because I didn't have a you know, my story. I didn't have what got me to this point. And I did think it was important that people understood who I was a little bit. Now, I haven't gone to the next level and put up a promotional video or things like that. Would you recommend that that's a good starting point for people, is to just have something in their about page that is a video of them working or communicating with potential clients? How do you think people can take advantage of this medium to help their business besides trying to do a daily video blog?
Sure. Yeah, because that's a lot of work, and I definitely would not recommend that to everybody. But I would recommend to everybody and highly encourage them to have some form of video on their website. They kind of just maybe like a short little blurb, them just sitting in front of the camera, being themselves, and make sure you smile and laugh a lot, and don't talk too professionally. Just talk the way you normally talk, and just say hi. Just introduce yourself and say hi. You know, the worst thing you could do though is just to get on there and be like, "Hey, I'm the greatest photographer ever, and this is why I'm so cool, and this is where I've shot." And you know, that's not what people want to hear. They want to get to know you. So yeah, maybe tell your story through video, or just, I mean, even if it's just like a quick little like 15 second, "Hi, my name is so and so, and I'd love to shoot your wedding. Blah blah blah. You know, this is what I'm all about. Period. Done." That little bit would make such a huge difference, because they got to see not just a picture of you, but they get to hear your voice. They got to see your mannerisms. And I mean, even a quick little blurb like that, I think people can really, really read into it and see who you are.
And also, like Vu was mentioning, we had him on a while back, and he said that people that want to delve into this should find their voice. So before you actually post something and share it with your friends and family, like, get their opinion. You know, really discover what you're like in front of the camera, because it's so different.
Yeah, that's what you said, because yeah, Lon and Vu are actually a huge inspiration for me. So I definitely want to make sure I give a shout out to them. They were tremendous influence for me to start doing video blogging, because I remember Lon, like, I've been friends with Lon for I don't even know how many years, since high school. And it's funny, we actually started photography together. And he's been doing video for quite a while, and I'd never really done video, just photography. And he was really involved with the vlogging community, and had he had a show with his wife online, and had a lot of experience with it. And he just constantly was saying, "Aaron, you need to start a video blog. You need to start a video blog." And I was just like, nah, I don't have enough time. And then it was so funny, because in just one day, like I said, I just said, "I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it every day." And that's what I did. And like, yeah, so they're a huge inspiration for me.
We've talked about the motivation, the inspiration, some of the benefits that can come of it, and how some people can utilize some of the stuff in their website. But if someone wanted to do it, where should they get started? I mean, what tools can they use? I mean, you just mentioned the iPhone and its video editing ability, and how you can post stuff really easily with that, which is, if you've got an iPhone and it's got the video editing capability, that's certainly a great way of starting. But is that enough? Is that good enough? Or do you really need to move into some other production software?
No, you don't. You definitely don't. And you know, like, that's the beauty of this, okay? Because you're a photographer, not a videographer. And there's the difference, you know. That is one of the things that I learned in the beginning, starting the show, is that I'm like, you know, these things, they don't have to be big productions. You know, they don't have to be these, you know, amazing videos day in, day out. It's you're a photographer, you know, for your photography, and that's what you're selling, is your photography. You're selling your personality. You're not selling the video itself. So don't get so caught up in trying to create this beautiful work of art every time. It's more about the content than the quality of the video. That's what I always tell people. Content is way, way, way more important. So if you're going to put time into anything, put it into thinking about what you're going to talk about, or, you know, what just, you know, the content, what the video is going to be about. So no, I don't think it's important that you have these, you know, video lights with, you know, high-end, you know, video cameras and sound equipment. I don't think that's important at all. If you have it, great, and you have the time to put into it, certainly, you know, go right ahead. But I don't think it's necessary at all. I think you can start with just a little point-and-shoot camera and use that for video. I definitely encourage you to stick to something that's tapeless. You know, I think that's where we're going anyways. Try to avoid the little mini, what are those called?
The mini DV?
Yeah, mini DV tapes. I mean, those are a pain, because then you got to, you know, capture the video. And that's just like a major hassle. And you can record now straight to, you know, SD cards, the little point-shoot cameras. Or you can, you know, I mean, technology is changing everything. Look at the new 5D Mark II. And so now you can, if you have a 5D Mark II, which, you know, a lot of photographers, that's what they have now. That's what they're shooting weddings with. I mean, it's a great camera. In addition, you can record full HD video on it too. So, you know, you can set that up on a tripod and do your daily or, you know, weekly videos using that, and you have HD videos too, but it's not necessary. It's just nice to do. But yeah, certainly you can use an iPhone for it. That's what I'm gonna start doing. I think what I'll do is I'll have every once in a while, like every 1 to 2 weeks, I'll have like a really awesome HD, recorded video. I think there's certain videos that demand it. Like if you're gonna have video of you like on location doing some awesome photo shoot, in a tropical beach somewhere, yeah, you want good quality video because you might use that footage later in a promo video of some sort. But for just for the quick little blurbs of you just, talking about something that happened that day, you don't need it to be HD. It doesn't matter what format it's in. As long as you have a video up there and the content's good, that's more important than anything.
I will say that the one thing that we've learned in doing the podcast and the videos for Camera Dojo is the video quality can be poor, the production quality can be poor, but if the audio quality is poor, people will complain like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah, no, that's true. That is true. Like, if you're gonna do an interview, you have to have good sound. So, but you'd be surprised how good the audio is on the iPhone now. I mean, as long as you're in a quiet room. But if you're doing an interview and it's like in WPPI,
Good luck. We've both been there. Yeah,
yeah,
that's.
I know. That's why I said that. yeah, you definitely want to get like a little mic, and they're cheap, $100. But yeah, you can get like a little directional mic that you hook up to your camera. Most cameras handle it. 5D Mark II can even do it. So,
And what are you using to clean up your photographs? What are you using for post-production? Because your work is gorgeous.
oh, thanks. all kinds of stuff. I mean, were you talking about something specific?
Well, I noticed your recent wedding was in Playa del Carmen. The photos are, I mean, magazines. I mean, that's what it reminds me of. It's absolutely beautiful. So things like that. I mean, are you using
A
some of the
lot.
actions that are out there? Are you using any Kubota's presets and products? Just curious how
No,
these are.
like a lot of it is Lightroom. I do a lot of Lightroom. That's, I mean, I'm pretty basic. My new slogan is traditional with a modern edge. And so, like, one of the things that, I think is really important, because I'm slowly but surely trying to move myself, like all photographers probably are, we all have different business models, but we're, slowly but surely trying to work my way up into like a higher echelon of photography and of clients and like high-end weddings. And I think, some of your more high-end clients, what they're looking for is not the ultra cool stuff, super, super modern hip. I think they're looking for timeless, classy. They're looking for something that it's going to have that modern edge to it, so it still looks, really cool. But at the same time, 10 years from now, they're going to go back and it's still going to be a beautiful image that they're not ashamed to put on their wall.
It's not going to look dated.
Right, it's not going
Right.
to look dated. So, like, part of that, and that's kind of been what I've been trying to work toward. And so what I do is I try to keep, pretty straightforward, classic lines. And I don't like to mess around too much with the actions. I like to keep it strictly to like just plain grayscale, black and white, or maybe like a sepia tone, and that's it. And then other than that, if it's color, I like my colors really vibrant and bright. I don't like the desaturated look. I think it's really cool, the desaturated look, but it's not my thing. I like real colorful, vibrant. And so maybe I'll bump the saturation a tad. I do a lot of my work in Lightroom. And then, for the blog and stuff, I'll do much of the work that needs to be done in Lightroom. Because Lightroom 2 is so powerful now, it's incredible. I mean, you can do so much, and you can handle raw images too. And you can even go in there and I just found out actually, it's so cool. It has a skin softening
Yes,
tool in
love that
Lightroom. I
tool.
just found that out today. But anyhow, I've never used it, so I'm not going to talk about it. But I mean, you can even do blemish removal. You can do all kinds of stuff in there that really, really quickly. So it kind of saves you a lot of time before you port it over to Photoshop and then do a little bit more of the intense stuff. But like, when I get to Photoshop, There's really not much I do. I get in there and I use, I get rid of the bags under the eyes, really quickly, and then I do that by hand. And then what I'll do is I'll use Nick software. You guys are familiar with that, right? I use Nick software to soften the skin. So,
And are you on
that's about it.
PC or Mac?
I'm on Apple.
Okay. Well, over on the good side, you guys.
But he is a Canonite. He does shoot with a 5D Mark II.
I do.
Yes.
And what are some of your favorite lenses?
I don't know. I love the 24mm, 1.4.
Really?
That's a great lens. The thing is, I don't shoot with it a lot. I mean, but I love it when I get a chance to. And it's one of those lenses where, you could definitely overuse it, But if I have like a specific look in mind and there's, I've got the composition all worked out in my head, and it turns out that the 24 is the perfect lens for it. I love the way it looks because it's super wide, but there's like no distortion whatsoever. And you still get that really, really shallow focus. So it's just awesome. I love that lens. And then I've kind of fallen in love with all over again, the 70-200 2.8. Like, I know a lot of people, they only use that for the ceremony, but lately I've been using it like crazy for like everything. During like engagement photo shoots, like I know a lot of photographers they don't even bring that lens with them. But I totally love the way like it compresses the image. I don't know. I've been using that lens a lot too.
Those are good choices. The
Yes.
24 on the 5D Mark II being a full frame sensor, that gives you some nice width.
It's very wide, yeah. That's why, like I said, it's a very specific lens. So like you only really need to use it like for the shots that need it. Otherwise, I don't know, you're kind of trying to force it. But it's good for the big, group shots if you're like working in a tight space and you have like a massive group of people to shoot, and that kind of works well with that. And especially if it's like indoors, real low light situation.
Excellent. Well, Aaron, I think a lot of people should really take some of the pieces away from this conversation that we've been having and see what they can apply to themselves, figure out what they can do to be motivated to do something a little different. And I think that's kind of the crux of why you did it. If we want to try and boil it down to some raw essentials, is trying to be different, trying to stand out by doing something unique. And maybe a daily video blog is the right thing for somebody, and it may be something else for somebody else. But find that thing that you can do that's different from other people.
And keep it personal.
Definitely. I mean, I think that's good advice.
Yeah.
So I hope people are motivated to find their projects. I mean, like I said before, we talked to Thomas Hawk with his million photographer or million images project, and we've talked about other big projects, and a video blog is a huge project, and it takes commitment. And hopefully, people can find something like you and be so successful at it that they can't actually do it anymore, which is a great position to be in, I think. So,
Yeah, I have to agree.
it worked too well. How many of us have ever said that? I mean, it's.
Darn.
But Aaron, I really want to thank you for coming on. I know you're an inspiration to me to go out and try and do things that are different, to open up and be transparent, because like I said, I changed some of my information when I was on your show, and I think that's an important message to get out to people is, be yourself, and you've really pushed that home with a lot of the things that you've done and the conversations that we've had in the past. And that's a great message that people really need to get out of all this.
Heck, I've already twittered
Thanks, guys. No, I'm so grateful. Thank you, and honored truly to be on the show. And I hope this was entertaining. I mean, I always feel like I don't have much to say, but I don't know. I hope this was, entertaining for some people. And thanks for having me on the show. And thanks for not being scared to ask me about, some personal questions too. I appreciate that.
Well,
No,
you should have seen the personal ones I wouldn't allow him to ask.
Oh,
I believe it. I
relax.
believe it.
What a chachi. Oh my gosh. Hello, this is Chachi Garrison. How can I help you? Wow. Hey,
He can
I'm just
edit
going to say, you know,
that
let's, quoting Aaron Diepa, you can't go wrong with being yourself.
out.
That's right. And I think that's a great point to close this on. And so thanks again, Aaron. We really appreciate you taking the time for us.
Yes,
Anytime.
thank you.
Thanks, David.
Well, I don't know about you, David, but I got an awful lot out of this one.
I couldn't wait to Twitter that quote. I really, you know, sitting here, I'm like, that's profound. And I'm really inspired now to make a very serious change to my about me on the website. And really, you know, I don't want to use the cliche term that everybody's using now about transparency, but, you know, I really do want people to get to know the, you know, the more real me, the grassroots me. And this is inspiration.
I think that's a great point, and he's really pushed that home with his project that he's done. And when I was on the show with him, we talked a lot about that. And I went back and I changed my information. And you know, it is a lot more about the relationship that we build with our clients than it is about what happens when we press the shutter. And if we can embrace that and learn to really maximize that to our benefit, I think we may be able to improve our businesses. I mean, Aaron's done quite well with it.
Yeah, quite well to the point. He hasn't done a big picture episode since May.
Now, that is a point that I want to bring up is, you know, we've had people on in the past who have done really big projects. They've, you know, Michael, Thomas Hawk with his, you know, million images to publish before he dies. These are very ambitious projects, and all the people out there who do photo a day projects and the you know, a picture of their kid every day from the time they were born till the time they were 15, you know, all those things. What makes Aaron's interesting is that he didn't pull it off, you know, completely. And I think there's a good story behind that, that you can still have something not quite go right, and yet you did benefit from it. And things can still work out. So you could look at it on one side and say, well, Aaron, you're just a big failure because you didn't pull this video a day thing off. And on the other hand, you look at it and you go, wow, Aaron did this and got to a point and it did what it was supposed to do. It got him noticed, it got him business, it improved his relationship with his clients, it did all these cool things that it was intended to do, and so it served its purpose. And there may not have been a need to continue it and go further with it. So I think there's definitely some things to take away from that.
There really is. And, you know, like you were pointing out with these really lofty, ambitious goals and projects that some of the current guests have had, that in no way are we saying, yeah, you guys need to go out there and really take on this crazy challenge. So totally not it. And I'm using the word totally in its totalitarian mode of saying totally not it. But do find something that you are passionate about. And like Carrie, you just said, even though Aaron has taken on this fantastic project and he hasn't done a whole lot with it recently, it's not that it wasn't a success. It's not a failure. It is an ongoing success. And even though he hasn't been able to take it on, he's still working on it and he's still inspired by it. And that's, I think that really says a lot. And the same thing with the million photographs. Oh my gosh, million photographs. Hello. But it's something that he's passionate about, and fortunately for him, it's being funded as well. So his work is funding his project. Congratulations.
Yeah, very true. So we do want to encourage people to find a project or to find something that they can do that sets them apart to be unique. It doesn't have to be something that's almost impossible to obtain. That's not what's going to make it special. What's going to make it special is what you bring to it and how you pull it off and what
Exactly.
meaning does it have to you. I think those are the things that really make a project special, not quantity or volume.
Exactly. It does not have to be quality or not quality, quantity in the volume. I have no idea what I'm saying there. I'm so ready for a cup of coffee. I could go for like a late night
But
cappuccino. I'm
I
sorry,
think that is
guys.
the point. It's
Yeah.
more about why and what than it is how much.
Right.
And if we can look at the projects that we do in that light, I think we can find the things that really will make us stand out. All right. Well, that I think that's going to be it for us. I want to thank Aaron for being on. I think it was a really good show. I think we need to, you know, all take away something from these conversations that we're having with these guys and find the thing that we can do that sets us apart from other people and gets our message to our potential clients. And that's really what we're trying to get to.
Exactly. And being more of who you are and truer to yourself and putting it out there as accurately as possible and as efficiently as possible will help you draw the type of client that you want. Because I know that the more that I'm myself, and like Aaron said, it's okay to be yourself. The more that I'm myself, the more that I draw that type of client to me. And a prime example, just I really want to share it with you guys. The biggest, coolest prime example was Amanda and Brian this past weekend. And we stopped on the side of the road and simulated a broke down truck. We acted like she ran over him with the golf cart on the green when we were at the property. There was just so many different wild and crazy things that we were just throwing out there. And the funny thing is that one of the really neat photos Brian thought of, and he was a little hesitant to share it. And I'm like, dude, what do you want? And we acted like he was catching her with his fishing pole, with his rod and reel by the pond over at the country club. It's like, totally cool idea. And people are like, whose idea was that? Was that yours? I'm like, no, it was Brian's. And that was really neat to be able to work with somebody that was just as zany and totally wacky as me. And the more you're yourself, go for it. You're going to get those people. I love that. It's just, you know, so I guess it would be like not opposites attract, but similarities attract in that aspect.
Very true. All right. Well, let's call it a night. It's been about an hour or so of a show, and we want to thank everyone for listening. Really appreciate all the feedback that we get, all the comments, all the reviews in iTunes. Oh, thank you guys so much. It means a lot to us when we see all these reviews that we're getting. And all we've been getting are 5-star reviews. So for all of you, thank you so much. It means a lot to us to get the comments and feedbacks that we get and the questions. People ask us questions. I try and do an answer in video on the website now. So we're trying to do some things to really make it more interactive like that. And the forums are going nuts. There's tons of posts in the forums now. So come and participate with us and make the Camera Dojo a big community. And the more we participate together, the stronger that we all are. So I want to thank everybody for participating. David, you want to hit us quick with your website info?
Absolutely. And Carrie, I just want to thank you. just thanks. Let's all just bow our heads in a moment of silence and thank Carrie. Okay. Anyways, enough thanking him. And Carrie, you can find me at EsquirePhotography.com. You can also find me at Facebook.com/David Esquire. You can find me at my Facebook fan page at Facebook.com/Esquire Photography. And then for the crazy ramblings at Twitter.com/Esquire Photo. And Carrie, where can we find you?
You can find me here on CameraDojo.com in the forums. Just post and David and I will do our best to respond to you and welcome you aboard. You can also check out my work at CarrieGarrison.com, on Twitter at Twitter.com/CarrieGarrison, and Facebook.com/CarrieGarrison. As if that's not enough, you can also follow the show at CameraDojo.com or on Twitter at Twitter.com/CameraDojo and Facebook.com/CameraDojo. So if you can't find one of us, you got problems.
You're under a rock.
I mean, we make it as easy as possible. All these links are in the show notes. They're all on the website. So we try and make it easy for you to get to us and send us feedback, questions, comments, suggestions. We love suggestions. We're getting ready to do another Letters from Listeners show. So send those letters in to podcast@cameradojo.com. And again, my thank you for listening to the show is the 20% discount on the Camera Dojo Lightroom presets using the discount code DOJO20. So again, thanks everyone for listening. We'll catch you next week.
Hi everybody, I'm Aaron Diepa, wedding photographer here in Orange County, and I love to play the drums. Hey, oh guys, did I tell you that Sylvester Stallone, he was in the area, so he stopped by. You want to talk to him?
Sure.
Yeah, hold on. Hey, Sylvester.
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, hey, come on over. I'm on Camera Dojo with Kerry Garrison and David Esquire.
And no way.
Yeah. You want to talk to him?
Yeah. Hey, yo, how you guys doing?
Hi, everybody. This is Aaron Diepa, and welcome to the Camera Dojo with Kerry Garrison and David Esquire. Yeah, have a good time. That's stupid. Hello? Yes, this is Aaron. Yes, I would love to be on your really cool show, The Camera Dojo, Kerry Garrison. David's going to be on the show too? That's great. What time? Right now? Perfect. I'm trying to make this last 2 hours so I can beat Vogue's record.